You're listening to the Right Room Podcast with me, Rupen Paul. I'm a stand-up comedian from India, and this is my weekly podcast. A show where I have conversations with people whom I consider accomplished, entertaining, and inspiring.
All right. Hello, guys. Welcome to the Right Room Podcast. My name is Rupen Paul, and with me is my friend. And usually I collaborate with two people, mostly in stand-up a lot. We do a lot of shows together. One is Krita Srinivasan, and the other person whom we have never heard of until now, Ashwin Srinivas. And joining me on call from Chennai today is Ashwin Srinivas. I feel like a call center, you know, joining me on call today. Yeah, but this is good because Ashwin and me, I do a lot of comedy together. We performed in Bangalore together a lot. We performed in Bombay, in Chennai, and a bunch of places. And I think I actually brought you up in one podcast. So before, I don't know if you remember or if you heard the episode. Basically, I was talking about how we both went to Pune to do that gig, right?
Yeah.
And I booked the venue.
Where one couple showed up.
Where one couple showed up, but that was not even the highlight of the entire trip. The highlight was the venue that I had booked and the accommodation that I had booked for us to stay were superbly far apart. And this is Ashwin, he's working under me, right, at that point. Okay, not like in a derogatory way, but he's working, he's supposed to open for me. Okay, so I told him, like, dude, let's go to Pune, let's go to Bombay, just come with me. And then until then, he had a lot of respect for me. And then after we went to Pune, we booked this accommodation, it was so far apart. And then he said, now I know even you're also a jackass.
No. I never had respect for you, Rupin. And also, nice. I think the highlight of the show is after the show, these two guys, they came up to us and said that you have to come to our place for dinner sometime. And that's the first time, audience...
I don't remember. Was this the couple?
The same couple who told me, I thought you were around too. And they said that you should come to... I said, we are just visiting Pune for the first time. And they were like, it's okay, people will show up. You should come to our house for dinner sometime. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. That was different, you know?
No, like, me and Ashwin have seen so many fucked up things at different comedy shows. And first of all, I just want to start with this story. In 2018, I think I just quitting my job. I was serving notice period for my first, the first time doing comedy full time. And I had to do a corporate gig. And Ashwin is opening for me. Okay. So I told him, don't worry, you can come in my cab and we'll go there. So we got in the cab and going there. And then I'm like, okay, dude, so... how much do you earn in your job? Huh? How much do you earn? And then he said he earns 95,000 or 90,000. I said 90,000, not bad. That's when I started respecting him.
Okay, that's nice. But anyways, half now everybody knows my salary. People are listening to my podcast.
Yeah, I think I put it on Facebook one time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But yeah, people have commitments though.
I know, dude, this is the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
No, also, you know, one thing, like, even like big deals, like Joe Rogan got 100 million right for his podcast.
Yeah,
but no one talks about how he got the shit kicked out of him in terms of taxes.
Oh yes, that's right. But I'm not worried too much about more than taxes. I feel my parents, parents is the biggest burden for me right now, I think. Because I pay 50% parents and 30%
nice
taxes.
Nice positive way to start this podcast. Yeah. You pay 50%?
50% to my parents and 30% to my government. So
I think 50% to the parents is good if your parents put you in international school.
That's right, which clearly they haven't, but it's okay. They're parents and I love them a little bit, so I think I'm just doing it.
Yeah, this is the fucked up problem about love, dude. You have to do things that you don't do otherwise. Yeah, I hate people that I love because I can't even, you know, scold them. I can't, like you know, even you, I've yelled at you so many times and I've had shouting fights with you, right? But then I can't be mad at you because you're like my friend.
Like, to be honest, like at the start of this podcast, you know, I misplaced my AirPods somewhere and then we couldn't start it on time. Like inside, I was just a little bit scared. What if this guy yells at me else with me now, and the entire podcast, he'd be like, he'd have that in his head, and I'll also have that in my head. So yeah, I was thinking about it.
But that is, that's only like 20% my fault, I feel. That's 80% you're overthinking.
That is right. I do that a lot. And while, so basically I kept my AirPods somewhere because I was overthinking something.
But also I have to point out, also assholes think like that. I said, hey, that is your fault that if you feel bad.
That's like most women I met as well. So
there we go. Now you know it's Ashwin Srinivas conversation. Because he started talking about, bitching about, you know, women just 5 minutes into the conversation.
Every time we talk, we end up somewhere like Bumble, Tinder or something. Something I talk or something you talk about dating, and then some philosophical things. It goes there all the time. That's what
yeah.
I feel.
Yeah. It'll be like a 2-hour conversation, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Just like 2-3 days back as well.
So yeah, I think we'll start the conversation by talking about comedy, but we'll be like, yeah, but if you see this girl whom I matched with on Tinder, no, Rupin, like, she's so different. And then I'll have to start asking, like, what makes her different? But Ashwin has always told me, like, the craziest dating stories. So let's, like, you know, get into something over here. Okay, there's one thing that I want to talk about with you. Like, you've been single in this lockdown period.
Yeah.
So how is it... how have you, like, I don't know, dude, like, how have you been dealing with it, and how is like dating different, and how are people behaving differently during this time in your experience, and also from the experience of your friends, like all the women whom you know, right? Like, because they've also been single during this time. So what is it like for that entire set of people? Because I'm right now not in that category at all. And I'm actually happy, but, like, you know, I don't want to look down on people who are going through this, and I just want to understand, like, how would it be for, like, someone like you going through this?
I've always been single, like, most part of my life. I just dated someone for 3 months, and then I realized it just wasn't working for me. You know, I was told in this, the first girl that I dated, she told me that I'm not a good listener.
Is this like before you met me?
Yes, that's right. That's right. About after I completed the first company, I had to quit. And after that, I met this woman. We were working together, and we were dating. That's what I thought. I don't know.
That's what you thought.
Yeah. I mean...
And you know what? Every guy has a story of... That's what I thought.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on.
We were dating.
On.
Every guy has a story. I think even a lot of women also have the story. They say, hey, that's what even I thought.
But most women don't. See, that's the thing. So when you just start hanging out more than once, you know that it is not a one-time thing, right? So there is something that you like about them that you want to be like, okay, fine, I did that. And the second time you meet, and third time you meet, and fourth time, you just make an assumption that, okay, maybe we are dating, right? But you don't talk about it. And I've realized it's very important to talk about what is that which is going on, so that you know what's going on, and you'll not have any expectations from each other, right? It's important to talk about it, because in these 3 months, I really thought we were dating, and then later one of us had expectations from the other one, and then it wasn't just matching, and then once things are not matching, you just blame each other, right? I was blaming her, and she was blaming me. She told me, like, you're not a good listener. I was telling her because you have nothing else, nothing interesting to say.
Shit. So, yeah, wait, do you actually fight like that?
Yeah. So I don't fight when I'm like in person. I can't fight. But over text, I'm the king, you know, like over WhatsApp, I just read my, because you have so much time to think and come up with your response when you're fighting through text, right? So people say that they get this anxiety, blue tick and all that, like that. Those are all true. But the thing is, I take my time, like I read the text and I just take my time. Okay, fine. Now, how do I deal with the situation? You know, I have to make sure it's not my mistake. So that's how I used to argue with her when I was dating. So I just like used
my... So did you do the thing like, you know, while texting, like you have to send a message, would you draft the text in a separate app?
Exactly. That's what I was getting at. So I have this notes app. So I don't like other people seeing...
So your notes app, I think, is just, you know, comedy material and then relationship conversation drafts.
Right. That's right. So I just open this notes and then I type my feelings. Because the problem is, when you're just typing over text, they also see that you're typing. And they think, why is this guy so taking so much time? You know, I don't want them to think that I think too much. You know, I want them to think that I'm busy doing something else. But I'm actually like phrasing how I can come up with this. So yeah, I used to do that super. So those 3 months were really exhausting, I felt. It wasn't a good experience. And then I was like, okay, probably this is not just, this is not for me. And then I left it there. That's it. I've been single for a while. But yeah, I've never always been on dating apps because it's just fun. You know, I just really like, and you, to answer your question, how people are different over dating apps. People are always like, I've always met only weird people. It's just for the last, in the lockdown especially, whoever I'm coming across having conversation, I think less people are taking jokes on themselves. And and I also, I'm not a sensitive, like I'm a sensitive person personally, but I'm just also like trying to be funny all the time, that I just say some stuff and then they get offended. There are a lot of stuff which happened. Recently, I matched with a HR and she said that she is divorced. And so her profile said she's divorced. And while we were having the conversation, she told me that, you know, like all the divorce process is going on and all that. Then I asked, it's surprising that you're a HR. She was like, I don't look like. I was like, no, it's not that. But every time you meet a HR, they always ask you, you know, where do you see yourself? I think you should have asked your husband that. He would have replied, no, clearly not with you.
Oh, shit.
I typed that, I sent it, and then she unmatched me in 2 minutes. So, yeah.
But you did that to make her laugh.
Yeah, I thought she'll find it funny.
Or did you do that?
Not to be mean to her, of course.
Not, but like just to be funny.
Just
like
to be funny, but
the entire thing was just a joke.
That's right. That's right. But I don't know what she was going through. Probably I should have like not done that. But I just said it. Thought, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think one weird realization that I've had is especially with jokes, right? As comedians, the only people who can really understand our jokes are other comedians. And I think our friends who know us for like long, like before we became comedians. Like, were you like this? Like, were you this funny? Like, even before becoming a comedian? Like, you would tell like something really controversial at some time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm also like fortunate to have friends who takes jokes on themselves and just be a very dark person. I think that really helps.
Like, be a sport.
Yeah, I know I've had like people who talked about...
But people whom you met like recently, like after doing stand-up?
Right, right. I have a lot of friends on Insta who just... we just share memes, you know? Like I've never met these people, but I just share memes with them, some dark memes. And they are very sportive and also like pretty dark at the same time. They share jokes like that, which I read and feel like, oh my God, this is too much. So there are some people like that. But yeah.
But I don't like memes. I do not like memes at all.
It's the most fun you can have.
Because the thing is, first of all, people use memes, as you like you said, to start a conversation.
Right.
The conversation starters. And I've seen that. I've seen that happen even like me. Like people will send me memes. And I don't respond to it. I just double tap it and I just keep quiet. Because I've never found that original. It's like, what do you actually want to say? Just say that to me directly. Why do you have to go through a meme?
Yeah, but since like if you haven't been talking to some person for a really long time, let's say like 3-4 months, and you've never asked like, hi, how are you, and all that. So two things that breaks this, you know, like on their birthday, you can wish them and get the conversation going. If you're interested in this person.
So anyone who's listening, and if there's a random person who's on your Instagram and you're waiting for a chance to, you know, wish them or start a conversation, start with their birthday. So everyone says like, hey, happy birthday. Actually, they want to say like, hey, eventually after 10 days, can I just ask you out for a date?
Exactly. So most meme, I think women get in the night are all just booty calls, you know. They just wanna get the conversation going to see, you know, if I can just get laid. That's what people do. No, I'm saying this from what my female friends have told me, but I've also done that.
I think this whole thing of texting is messed up dating so much. I remember there was one girl. Mm-hmm. I think we went out once, okay, on a date. And she told me this. And she said, like, I am better texting than in conversation. So when we actually met, it wasn't that great at all. Okay, and I'm taking like at least 70% of the blame, because I was like not that great when I started. I was not like I'm great now, right? The thing is, like, she told me this. She said, like, I'm better texting than talking. And that's such a weird thing. How much will you text? Like, say, even if you get together, like, eventually you're texting so that you can be with that person, like, in person, right?
Yeah.
And if you text a lot, and some people text really well and they actually meet, they have nothing much to talk.
Yeah, so, that's right. That's right.
I think, you know, texting gives you a much more sense of security than, like, real life conversations. Like, there are some things that I can say, like, I can tell you in a text, like, hey, dude, go fuck yourself, to anybody. And then I can just block that person. But I can't do that in real life, right? I can't just go to someone who treats me like poorly on any day and be like, hey, dude, go fuck yourself, and then just walk out.
Yeah, that's right. Text,
because
you can...
That person will be like, what do you say? Come here.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want. You can say whatever you want through text. That's exactly what I was saying. I'm very comfortable fighting through text. But in real...
But you know the...
Yeah, even...
The issue with that is, like, have you ever had this thing where you're fighting... on text, or you're even, like, you know, you're gossiping about another person, you're talking about another person, and you send the message to the person whom you're talking about.
No, so I've seen this weird thing. So I was fighting with somebody who was saying that of course it's a girl. You won't fight so much with a guy on any issues. You just, like, you just shut up, that's it, right? You just won't
you
talk
do
to...
you do fight
not
like,
over text.
I fought with a couple of, I think I fought with a few of my friends, but
over text.
But the fight gets over fast. Like, I think it, I don't know what it is, but it gets over fast.
Ever fought with a guy through text?
No, you can't fight with a guy. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's always women in my case. So I was talking to this girl, and she was talking about how I've hurt her and stuff, right? She said, I'm really hurt and I'm crying. You shouldn't have done this and all that. And while we were having...
how could you do it?
Yeah, I was asking myself, you know, I was convinced that it's my mistake. Until, while this conversation was on, I was going to apologize that I've hurt her. She changed her DP. And I saw that and be like, nobody who is hurt changes their DP, like, while they are hurt. You know, that's like... That's not something that I do. You have time to change your DP, then you're just faking. You know, I just.
Okay, a quick question. When was the last time you changed your DP?
That's like, I don't really. Yeah, it's probably two, three months.
And so how often do you change it?
Yeah, I change it when I don't have like any work, or someone talks about my DP to me. And they say stuff like, you know, you look either good or you look not good. I just feel like, oh shit, I have not changed my DP. I don't know that thing exists. So I go and change my DP. Or you know, if you're doing shows...
But at least thrice a year?
Sorry?
At least three times a year?
Right. Four, five, probably. Yeah.
Four, five times a year.
Yeah.
So you're properly... Dude, this is amazing. Like, I feel like I'm an old dude.
Oh, you just...
Like, I feel like I'm your uncle or something.
I remember.
Because I think... I changed my DP last in 2018.
Right. So, and I told you about it. I remember once, whatever the picture that was there on WhatsApp, the same picture I commented about it to you, saying that it's not that good. And you just replied, I like it. And that's it. You just never changed it. You never took that as a feedback and changed. But I take it very seriously. When people say that, you know, this is not good, like you... There are a few people, which includes you, say that, you know, this is not good. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll just change it. I joke.
But I don't say that with respect to DPs. I say that with respect to, like, jokes or
jokes like or some people
important, yeah, like some fucked up person whom you like whom I meet through you. Like Ashwin, we meet so many screwed up people like in comedy, and then afterwards sometimes I'll be like, Ashwin will be chilling with that person sometimes after some time. Like, dude, what are you doing? We just spoke about what a psycho that person is.
Yeah, it's also something to do with not being an S-man, I feel, right? Sometimes you just feel so awkward to say no to people. You just feel uncomfortable to say no. So you just agree to it so that it won't hurt them. And then, but in the process, you just think, okay, shit, I shouldn't have done it. I regret later. So every time nowadays, like, I regret while I'm talking.
But have you noticed, that like 95% of the time, I would say the majority of the time, I would say, I don't know what is the percentage, but the majority of the time you say yes to something that you really don't want to do, somewhere in between you'll be like, why the fuck did I say yes to it?
Right, right. So I regret it. So I don't realize it even then, but when I talk to you and you point it out, hey, I told you that you should just move away from this person and you know that it's not going anywhere. And then I realize it. I don't know. It's just that you realize it only when somebody points it out. That's basically what therapy do to you, right? I always say that. Like, they don't do anything. Like, I went to this place and I stopped going there because I understood the process, what was happening. In 3 months, the lady just listens to me. And she expect me to understand as I'm saying this story. Sometimes while I'm talking, she's on her phone as well. So,
she's texting?
Yeah. She says she has really to. She has to respond to this.
Maybe she also feels like more confident while texting.
That's right. And she tries to like, I'm not sure whether she's fighting with someone also in tech. Like, she most of the time uses her phone, like once she did. And then as I'm talking about my issues, and I had to point that out, you know, she's using a phone and I think it's distracting me. And she was saying she was having fight with somebody. She said friend, I'm sure.
She told you this.
Sorry? Yeah. She said I'm fighting with a friend. And
so your therapist is now telling about a fight that she is going through in her life to you.
That's
the client.
That's right. She said, no, I'm fighting with a friend.
Did
it's
you
nothing.
Have asked her, so how does this fight make you feel?
I don't want to be that mean, but she herself.
Can you make jokes in therapy?
But I try to talk about. It was just a stupid joke. So I watched, the women, like IPL IPL, in Australia, they play Big Bash. And like today, as we are talking, women's...
Wait, that's the name of their Premier League?
That's right, Big Bash.
Big Bash. It's the Australia Premier League is called Big Bash.
That's right. So...
Come on, dude, that sounds so horrible.
That's right, Big Bash. Big Bash
they got to think of a new name.
Right, it doesn't sound like it's a cricket tournament at all. But
do you bet on it on what is that?
Yeah, that I do level? Now. That I do now. It's just that is a different level addiction, you know. As like before we start this podcast, I was just getting ready to do the audio and everything, and I was also like looking into stores and see if my team on Dream 11 is doing well. Okay. it's an addiction. It's a clear addiction. But people who have some money. They're just, you don't really, you can't really stop it, you know. You just feel, you know, this money, I can afford losing this money, you know, as long as things, this lockdown especially, this betting has kept me like pretty busy. I don't invest so much, so you just like 200, 300 per match. If it works out, you feel happy, you know, I won today.
Right. Get back to your story about like the Big Bash.
Yeah, the fight in therapy. So we were talking about one woman player in the Big Bash who played really well. And there is another girl also follows women Big Bash. So we both were talking about it. And I said...
At this point, you should have asked her on a date, dude. Like, what are the odds? Like, there's you follow Big Bash and there's a girl
in the same
group, right?
Yeah.
And then what a cool story. You could be like, hey, you know where I met your mom? At therapy.
Yo, we would have like, we know so much about each other. So when you're in a therapy, you know so much about another person that outside you're not comfortable meeting.
This is like some group therapy,
them.
Right?
Yeah, it's a group therapy. You don't want to...
But is it confidential? Is all this information confidential? What is discussed?
Yeah. You're not...
Okay, so don't tell anything about her, right? For the legality of the podcast, just tell about your mistake.
Yeah. So I'm not going to tell, reveal anything about her. But I've been to like multiple group therapy. So this therapy, this woman, I just fought her with because I was talking about Women's Big Bash League and she said she also follows it and she talked about a particular pair, which I also like. And what I did was I just said every time I watch her, I don't feel like she's a woman, you know, she plays a guy. And in my head,
that triggered her.
Oh, it triggered her that she started crying. You know, that's wrong with society. That's wrong with women. According to me, I was saying, you know, how that's the best compliment that I can give to her. That's what I was saying. Oh, no.
But that's, you didn't say that out loud, right?
Oh, I said that. I think, that's that. From my point of view, I don't know how you think, but from my point of view, that is the best compliment that I can give. You know, that's the thing with comedy.
Oh, that's very fucked.
Yeah.
That's
so,
fucked up.
No, that's the thing with comedy. So you have a different mindset and you live with it. And later you realize, there are some things that you're not supposed to say.
But are you, right now, after so many years of just living as a comedian, outside of doing comedy, are you more aware of the spaces in which you can be funny and not be funny?
I think the spaces which you're not supposed to be funny, there is some kick that if you make people laugh off that. So I really...
Oh, you enjoy that?
Yeah, okay. I really like it. I really like when somebody...
There are a lot of places where I just don't be funny at all.
Okay.
And I'm just really serious. And I can get into that zone if I'm really serious. It's most of the time when I'll be really serious.
See, you make fun of death. You make fun of death. That I know. That I've seen.
See, the only thing is, I know, when everyone's in a good mood, right? And then you make a controversial joke, it's much more well taken than when someone is in a bad mood or they're sad as a human being and then you make a controversial joke about their life. Mm. Like, some things are funny later. That's what I've seen, right? Like, you see some horrible shit and you'll be like, oh, this is really horrible shit. And then later, after some time, you can call it back and be like, yeah, but it's like, you know, something, call back to that. And then that's funny. That breaks the tension of that difficult situation. But it comes, I think it heals with time. Like, I think it's bad because, you know, like, people don't figure it out even in, like, personal things, right? When they talk about it on stage. Like when you, like say if you're married and you talk about your marriage issues on stage, right? Have you first talked it with, like, I think who mentioned this? Radhika was, she mentioned this. She said, like, every time I do a joke about my marriage on stage, I make sure that me and my husband have gone past that issue.
Oh, wow. Okay. And so, like, the husband is okay with her sharing. Is that what it is?
Her husband is, first of all, they've understood that this issue, they've gone past the issue in their relationship. And now they can talk about their as an experience in the form of a joke. Or rather, she can talk about it, not they. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is one. I thought that was pretty cool that she said it.
But there are times you can't like have control over your thoughts when you're on stage that you just say it. I've done that a lot of times. I just bitched about my...
On stage?
Yeah.
On stage?
Mostly on stage.
I think it's because of being... It's that on stage, it's a very critical situation because you're being tested. You're put under a lot of pressure. You're put under the pressure of, you know, exposing yourself to the entire crowd, and you're put under the pressure of making them laugh. And the more they laugh, you know, the tension reduces. So you're trying to find that laugh. At the same time, so it's already an uncomfortable feeling. Even in a good room, it's uncomfortable.
Right.
But sometimes we perform at horrible rooms.
Right.
It's important to be aware of that.
Yes.
That when you're performing at a horrible room, that you could say something that's going to go bad.
Yeah.
And then just keep quiet. Because, like, have you seen Jerry Seinfeld's, the show that he had, Seinfeld, when Kramer went mad on stage?
No. I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, you got to see that clip, man. Like, so for those of you who are listening, and I'll tell you all the story as well. So, you know, Seinfeld, the show, it became really famous, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know the guy who plays Kramer, I think his name is Michael Richards.
Yeah.
Right, he was a stand-up comedian. right? So he's been doing stand-up and Seinfeld's also doing stand-up. So one night, I think at the Laugh Factory. Hmm. Okay, I could be wrong. At the Laugh Factory, he goes on stage and there are some people of, American, African origin over there, right? And he loses his... I think he's having a bad set. And he loses his cool and then he calls them the N-word.
Oh.
He says like, you N-word, something, something, something. And he goes off on them. Hmm. And that was the last time he did comedy on stage. He's been off comedy. Uh-huh. There's nothing nothing that happened. No one has any reverence to him.
Okay.
I think he mostly just stays as a recluse. Like he doesn't come out too much. Because he just had a breakdown on stage. And to some extent, all of us have had a breakdown on stage.
Right. Not
like, when, like, do you remember the last time you had a complete breakdown on stage?
No, I don't remember the complete breakdown and all that. I just sounded upset. So all your lightest material, which supposed to be so light that anybody laughs at, those becomes pretty sad when you are sad as well. So you talk as if my life is not going anywhere.
But that's the thing with your material. It's not a thing with the room.
Yeah, that. That's right.
Is it a thing with the material or the room?
Yeah, yeah. It's about how you feel that day. But with the room, I feel there are some jokes that you're not supposed to do when the room is not, that friendly to get that. You'll get that vibe anyways when other people are performing. So you'll not do it. When people are laughing so much, then you can try these stuff where people are feeling uncomfortable.
We both have done a bunch of shows, right? Especially like my favorite memory of doing stand-up now, since stand-up is a memory, is like, I think last year, both of us did like an entire week of shows. Not a week of shows, 10 days of shows, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
From 21st to the... We went on past the first, but we did a show every day at the same venue.
It's not just the... Yeah, yeah, yeah. Every day the same venue, the show happened every single day, 13 days, and we've sold out like what?
A few times.
Yeah, more than half a time. So it's like six, seven days of sold out shows.
Right.
Yeah.
So
best.
And that time,
time.
You remember there were some times where I told you, like, this audience, you just got to be a little bit different. Because if you see the audience, they're a little older. So you got to be a little more polite. You have to, really. Just be, you have to be a little bit endearing to them. You can't go on stage and make them hate you. Especially if that's the only crowd you got. Like, it's another thing when you say, like, it's good to make people uncomfortable. But as long as there are enough people in the room, right, to do that. But you can't make everybody uncomfortable also. Some people should like it also.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Few people should be with you so that at least they are laughing and seeing them... Probably these people will come along the line. Okay, fine. Maybe this guy is so funny.
I remember one night we did the show and there was an audience member who was just difficult to get. Like, he was so defensive about himself, right? And like, even if you asked him, I think it was not too big an audience. There was one guy sitting in front of us, and comedy, you remember every show, right? So there was one guy sitting in front of us and three guys sitting on the right of
of
the stage, right? You remember that show? And there was this one guy who never opened up at all. He didn't find anything funny. And when you ask him a question, he would, reply in such a way that he says, like, don't bother me. Don't ask me any question, right? Like, I think I asked him some question about, like dating. Uh-huh. Like, would you rather date this type of girl or would you rather date that type of girl? And he said, none of them.
So I see this is happening. This, I've always observed this. And if a guy is in a group and that guy is trying to impress a girl, or if somebody is newly dating and they come as a couple to a show and sit in the front row, especially, right? When you are doing joke, the guy is not laughing because the guy doesn't want to think. I mean, the guy doesn't want the girl to think that this guy is better. This is the mindset that I see when somebody wants to impress. Like, if the guy tries to impress the girl and he's like, I'm not going to laugh at another guy's joke. I'm better.
I have a different theory to that.
Uh-huh.
My theory is, like, I think he, like, every time, like, I remember one time, this guy came in with a white girl. Okay, so the Indian dude came in with a French girl at the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was these two people sitting somewhat in the front row. And then there was a bunch of Indian people over there.
Okay.
And he was just being polite. He didn't laugh at anyone's joke. He didn't laugh at the host jokes, the other act that I think went on before me. He didn't laugh at anybody's jokes.
Mm.
So when I came, I kind of realized what happened. Okay, the thing is, he had brought this white girl to an Indian comedy show.
Okay.
So, you know, when you do that, you either want it to be so awesome, but if it's not awesome, it'll be like, I need something to impress her, right?
And oh, it's just like, okay,
if it's not exactly what is that good to impress her, then I'll also feel embarrassed. And I'm just in that awkward state and I shouldn't enjoy this. So later on, I can tell her like, yeah, that wasn't really funny. If you were also thinking it wasn't funny, then it wasn't just funny. And next time, let's go and do something else.
Right, right. That's about, you know...
But he's using us as an audition to impress, like, her.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, there are times when you choose a place and somebody doesn't like the place. And if it's somebody that you want to date or you like, then you feel pretty guilty. And you're like, okay, maybe I fucked this up. What if she moves on? Yeah, that's...
Or you take a girl and meet your parents... And then you have talked really good stuff about your parents, right? And then your dad is just wearing a lungi without a shirt and he opens the door. Then you have always seen your dad like that.
Yeah, right? But they don't know.
But then you're like, oh my God, why is my dad like this?
Yeah.
Right? Because you're impressing. I think that's the same thing even with like, you know, people. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Thankfully, I've never like had a situation where I'm like, I've never brought any girl that to my parents. So far that hasn't happened. Because now every single thing that I'll start observing that my parents do, what will she think of it, right? Like, for example, my dad makes some sound every time he has to sit on the floor, right? I don't like that sound.
Like, that's the sign of old age. You make like,
yeah. And those are not just words. It's just them calling random gods. Or it's
even my parents do that. Be like, oh Jesus.
And Jesus actually doesn't sound that good when you're trying to sit and you're not able to, you know? Like there are a lot of
guys,
gods
let's have a competition over here, okay? I'm gonna sit down and I'm gonna tell my God's name, and then Ashwin is gonna tell his God's name, and we'll see which one is better, alright?
Yeah.
I'm gonna stand up. Oh Jesus. Okay, let's do yours.
Rama 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 Rama.
Okay, I would say you win over there.
Because
okay, you would win because you could say it repeatedly.
Yeah,
you can't be like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
yeah,
Jesus, Jesus,
exactly. That's like a tongue twister. And also, you can call like there are a lot of gods, right? You can just call every time you have to sit in the bedroom. You can call a different god, and if it's the living room, happen.
I know you're just doing this to make me laugh and to make like the three audience members who are listening laugh. All this doesn't happen.
No, but so my dad calls multiple gods though, but not. Not depends on wherever he is, but
can I ask you a question? So, yeah. Like, you have many gods, right? Like, do you have like a top five?
No, I don't really believe in this, right? So, I cannot have a top five.
So, you just like the idea of gods, that's all.
Yeah, I know there is something, but I'm sure I can't be that sure also. Like, if I'm fucked up, like, I go to a temple. And believe what my parents believes too. But otherwise, I feel there is something, but nobody knows what that is.
Right. But there's some force that is a higher power.
That's right. Yeah. That's about it.
Hmm.
That's what I believe. For now, maybe after 30, my belief can change.
I've heard like that it doesn't happen. Like you get belief suddenly can't change after a while. Or maybe it does also. I don't know. Like from whatever I've heard, like you say, people say like, you know, once you form your beliefs quite early on, especially your 20s to 30s, then there's very little chance. Unless there's some epiphany that you have and some revelation is there. Like, oh, now I'm 100% convinced that so and so and so and so.
People have changed after 40, right? Like people have changed after their, once they are done through, like, okay, once they get settled with someone, mm-hmm. like I've seen my friends mm-hmm. change. They just completely...
You have friends who are like... you have a lot of friends who are above 40?
Not above 40. But I'm saying above 40, people change. But after getting married, I've seen people change drastically. Where entire behavior change and their body language change. And they're not the same, you know. They don't use cuss words as much. Like even when they're...
Right.
wife is not around, you know, they just don't use cuss word. They don't talk like how they used to talk. So they just change as a person after wedding. So yeah, you never know. We'd be the same too.
Why do you think that happens? I think it's like people outgrow it, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. People get matured is what I think. People get matured and people value about their lives more after getting married. Like, I have a friend who just thinks, who's like an adventurous guy, you know. Every time you go on a trip and he'd find some spot, he'd just tell you that spot. You know, we have to go there because nobody goes there. Right? So
everyone has one friend like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So nobody goes there. Why would you go? They're like, that's the fun part about it. Now that guy, I just sat behind him. You know, we were going somewhere and he was riding the bike. And he was riding so slow. That's not him.
Yeah.
I realized and I asked him, you know, is that because you're getting... Yeah, of course, he didn't accept. But he wasn't accepting. He wasn't agreeing to that. You know, he changed. But
wait,
he was like,
no,
it's just that...
Friend, like, hey, are you riding slow because you're married?
Yeah. Is that the change? You know, you're just like...
It doesn't seem... Yeah.
He was honking way too much. And he was following like every single traffic, which everybody should follow, by the way. But he was doing it like way too much, like an annoying guy honking too much, you know. Like, yeah, that's when I felt, okay, this guy is just like cares about himself like way too much now. That's a possibility. You never know.
It changes people to an extent. But I think people who make it like overthink it, right? Like, oh, my relationship, oh, my marriage, oh, my family. I think those people, it really changes, dude. Like, I think if you just don't care about it and just focus on the most, on the other important stuff, I think then it just happens on the side. And that's what I've seen. Like, all the successful, all the people who are successful, who have good marriages, they've not gone after, you know, like, they've not gone after women, or they've not gone after that one woman in their life, right? Like, constantly. Like, you know, the mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, people who are really successful, sometimes they just have like multiple women, right? And then they just screw up their marriage because now they have so many more options because they've become really rich. Like, even though they got rich after getting married, and then they just like, you know, now they have the chance to like, you know, date whoever they want. And that's how I think a lot of successful people ended up cheating on their wives who came up with them.
Right,
because they have so many, and I think that's a huge mistake.
Yeah, when I read that Jeff Bezos story, I completely get that. You know, like
And the thing is, the truth is, he's never going to be happy with anybody because anyone whom he's going to meet now is going to be only after his money.
Yeah, it's not going to be as genuine as the one that he got married to. So,
yeah, because that girl came up with him. Like, that girl was there with him when he had nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
But also, I think it's really stupid because it's such a waste of time. Now, Bezos will have to, start the entire process, which you're supposed to graduate from, dude. This is not something that you have to keep doing, right? You're supposed to graduate from this and go and do other stuff, I would say.
Yeah, but when
but
you
it
also...
seems to be working for him, dude. Like...
But yeah, at the same time, when you read those stories and you feel like successful people are all not the same. They are just like, you know, every individual. Just that, you know, it also tells you that, you know, they're like everybody, and they also make mistake, and they're just like you. So,
but would so let's say you are Jeff Bezos,
mm-hmm.
right? Would you be proud of yourself if you have established Amazon, become the richest man in the world, and been with the same woman from the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you be happier about yourself and more comfortable in your skin, like if you had made the choices that the current Jeff Bezos made?
No, I think I wouldn't have done that. If I wouldn't be happy if I have made a decision to, you know, cheat on my wife. And I just feel if I've done that already, then I can't like undo it. But now I would just I'd just go back and apologize or do everything to get my wife back. That's what I think I would do, because that I think that's the kind of a nice person, nice guy that I am inside. I would definitely know that. I wouldn't be happy. But when you read those stories, what I'm saying is that those people are also just like every other individual.
I don't think they are like, as much as how everyone says they are like everyone else, I don't think they are like everyone else. I think they're playing a completely different game. Because I think money and power gives you the ability that you can get away with stuff. For example, like if you had 5 lakhs in your bank account and you had 2,000 mm-hmm. rupees in your bank account and you're caught by a cop, say for overspeeding, when you have 5 lakhs, won't you smile a lot more while paying that fine than 2,000?
Definitely, but...
So it's not the same game.
But also, when the cops know that you have 5 lakhs, you can't get away by playing the same amount of fine that 2,000
yeah,
rupees.
Yeah, but you know that like there's a 2,000 rupee fine is not going to hurt so much when you have 5 lakhs.
Yeah, so you mean to say when you have more money, you just mm-hmm. go easy with a few things and you are afford to make some mistakes?
You can say no to it. Like suppose if I was your friend and you had made the money, like 10 lakhs, and I just pissed you off by just saying like, dude, you're such a jackass. That's not the way you're supposed to do something and don't ever treat someone like that. Then you can just be like, dude, Rupin's like a broke motherfucker. I have 10 lakhs and I don't even need him in my life because I'm so successful. I have my own show. I have my own everything. I don't even need him in my life and my life will still be the same. And then you'll just get rid of me. And like this, you can get rid of anyone. Like you can get rid of your parents. You can get rid of your friends. You can get rid of your close people. Anyone you can get rid of.
Yeah, so money also changes people. Money and marriage. those two things. And also
money
plus
and
40 maybe.
And what's the other thing?
If people always say it, like after 40, the perspective of you thinking about like the perspective of life just changes after 40.
But I think that's a positive thing for especially for people who have made it. Like, it's so important, dude. Like, it's so important for people who are at least at... I don't know. Like, a lot of people say, like, there shouldn't be an age to success, right? There shouldn't be an age at which you become successful. You can become successful at any age. But I think by about the age of 40, it's important that you have your shit together. Because you're also informing... if you have kids, you're also informing the decisions that they are making by being an example, right? Because they're looking up to you. So if you don't have your shit together, like at least by that age, right? Then how is anyone going to respect you, man? And I think for people who have their shit together above the age of 40, like even their flaws, like even the things that are flawed in the character, they just make peace with themselves. Like, yeah, I guess I just am like this. And that's a really shitty side of me. But like, you know, I also am like good in so-and-so ways. And yeah, I just need to just be me. And I just need to... Do as much good as I can and try and not be like the asshole that I can be. And I think at 40 years, I think you just make a lot more peace with yourself, and that's why I think your life changes.
So when you see somebody now and who's just pretty rude to people or whom you think who are not like really nice to other people, you think that they're it is something that they got it from their childhood, like their father or mother be the same to them.
I read something, you know, sometimes you understand the other person who's getting angry at you, so you understand that person so well that you can't get angry with them back.
Yeah,
right? Like if someone does
right.
something, if you're like, right, yeah, man, I know what you did is horrible, but I'm not going to get angry because I understand why you did it. I think that happens, but many times I think it happens even to me, dude. Like all the times I've been really angry and all that, exactly, I've just been angry at myself and like with my circumstance, with my life. And then I'm just showing that anger to others. Because all I want to do is be left alone. But this person is trying to come into like my space.
That person gets like more angry if you address that, you know. Like if they themselves address it, if they themselves say that, you know, see, I did that because I was going through something and stuff, you'd be like, they'd be cool with it. But when you address it, I think you're doing this because there is something that is going on with you. Then they feel like they are being,
scrutinized.
Yeah, I'm being rude by addressing that. And they feel like there is nothing.
You can't address that as well. You can't say that. You just have to, you just have to be really chill, dude. Like, I don't know, like I've seen, like all the ideal people I've seen are just so comfortable with themselves. I've met very few people like that. right? But they're so just happy and chill being themselves that they don't try to control other people. And that's, I think, ideally, that's how I'd like to be. But it takes some time being that way.
Yeah. In this lockdown, especially, I've met people, like I've gotten to know, I've made friends in this lockdown, because I think I went back to my friends, like older friends who were friends like before in my school days and all that. I realized the importance of, you know, what it is to be in touch with them. I just lost touch after I started doing comedy, just gotten busy with, you know, two professions that I just lost contacts, you know, like lost friends. That was really scary when this lockdown started, and I realized it's so bad. And at the end of the day, you need them. And I just like went back to them. Yeah, that's something. And they never questioned, you know, where did you disappear all these while and why are you talking to me now? Right.
They were always there.
Yeah. I never realized it. And it was pretty important to do that, you know, like as much as how we think a relationship can change your life, and friends can do the same too.
I think so too, yeah. Because I had a friend whom I studied with in my master's, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And didn't keep too much in touch with him, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, to the point, like, my girlfriend, she would tell me, like, hey, it's your friend's birthday, wish him, right? Like, I'll be like, I've not kept in touch with him. So should I wish him? Should I not wish him?
That's when you send them memes. Just a friend.
That's when you?
Send a meme.
Send a meme. Yeah, I didn't send a meme because I don't have memes. So I don't know how to get
You don't
memes.
Believe that. Yeah.
Like how, I guess you have to go to memes XP or something. I don't know what XP stands for. Explorer. I don't know. So I not kept too much in touch with him. Every time he would call, like I'd speak with him for like, you know, like half an hour, and then we'd go our different ways. And then during the lockdown, like one time I'd applied for like, I think 100 and something jobs, dude. Nothing was fucking working. It was just disgusting. And every job interview was disappointing. They'd be like, sir, job, sir, but only 10,000, sir. And like it was like that. And so one day I was just fed up with everything. I just, in the afternoon, I was just lying down and like, shit, this is horrible. And like this guy, he called me up at that time, okay? And he said, like, hey, how are you? I said, hey, good, how are you? And then he was talking, and then he said, your voice is not sounding proper. I said, wait, one second, I'll adjust my volume and I'll talk.
Mm.
Okay, must be a problem with the volume. He said, okay, now I can hear you better, but you're not sounding proper. I said, no, no, nothing, man, I'm all good. And I don't know what. And he had known that I was like, no, stand up, I just stop, everything is just drop. And he just said, like, okay, man, cool, you take care, I'll call you sometime later.
Okay.
And he just went. And then next day, he just asked me, like, hey, dude, are you using the same number throughout? I said, what do you mean? He said, like, same for WhatsApp, Google Pay, and all that. I said, yeah, dude. And then I said, like, oh, shit, Google Pay, that means he's sent like something on Google Pay. And then I had seen, like, the previous day.
Uh-huh.
And bear in mind, this conversation of, you know, are using the same numbers happening one day after the phone call. But the previous day, this guy sent me 5,000 rupees.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, he said, like, I know you didn't ask for it, but I just felt you were in a weird state that time because this job market is down and everything is down. And I just thought you will need that money. And I made some extra money. He had interestingly made money from like one of your big bash kind of apps. Yeah. He took part in some quiz, I think.
Like with quiz?
Sporting quiz. And he won some money. And he gave me like some 5K out of that. But the thing is, I didn't ask him. He just figured it out because he was an old friend. Yeah.
That's right.
And you know Joey Diaz, right? Like, Joey Diaz, the comedian.
Yeah. I know Joey Diaz very well.
And actually, it was in his podcast. Like, he said, like, during this time, like, if you have the money, before someone asks you the money, if you feel they need the money, just give them the money.
Right. But also, like, it's important whom you trust. As you know, I think I've told you this. Like, there is this guy who works at the cafe, came to me and just asked for money. I just sent him. I didn't like.
But that's the thing with people asking for money. With people asking for, a lot of people, I feel, ask for money. And they're not genuine at all. Like, this is a true story. One time, like, one of my friends asked money for another friend to me. And I asked her, why does she need that money? And she said, because she needs to go to Goa.
What?
So that's not what you do when you don't, when you're broke. When you're broke, be miserable and search for a job.
Wow, that it takes a lot of guts to ask money for friend's friend because he's going to Goa. I've had to ask for my money from other people. That is like equally awkward as well. Like
that's just you being a nice guy and saying yes to everyone. Here's your money. Here's your money. Yeah. I don't give anyone shit.
So
if anyone asks
now
for money,
I've stopped.
I'd be like, ask your parents, ask your uncle, ask them, right? Because if it's a really close friend, I'll know the situation.
Right, right. So I've learned that. I've learned that through this experience, but it's a costly experience. I've lost like a lot of money, not in like 3,000, 4,000, like 20. I've given this guy 20K and he said, and then he blocked me on WhatsApp like later when I asked him for money. So yeah there are some bad Absolutely. People around. Like why it is happening to me?
There are a lot of cunts.
Yeah, a lot of cunts. I thought I shouldn't use those words here because it's like a Christian podcast. So,
No. I think the only Christian thing is that my dad comes once in a while and he gives like one non-Christian sermon.
Oh, your dad's podcast really helped me get through this lockdown because he was talking about like doing a project, right? Like keeping projects keeps you sane. That was pretty true. And I've talked to you and I've taken this thing of, you know, doing videos and stuff. Yeah, that really helped me. I respect him so much. Looking forward to meet him after all this. I'll go and tell him some nice words.
Never. I'll never call Ashwin to my
house. And ask him
I do call Ashwin to my house. Ashwin has come home, but he keeps making fun of all the things that are there in my house. Because if you come to my house, because my parents are Christian, right? There's a lot of Christian texts and like words over there. He'd be like, why is it so positive? Like little suicide, nothing is there over here for me to relate to.
It's all about happiness. Like I'm sure there are the word happiness is written somewhere like in three places at your house. I look at like, why is happy?
No,
happy
and
is written.
That's my dad has done a lot of research on happiness.
Yeah, that's right.
But so actually I should use some of that research in my own life also. But I remember there's a book that I have, it's called Geography of Bliss. All right. So
Geography of what?
Geography of Bliss, not Bliss. Piss. But Geography of Bliss is about like one guy, he travels the entire world trying to find what is happiness in each of those countries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's called the happiness index. So according to how happy a country is, they have a happiness index. And the guy who coined the term happiness index, okay, was a guy who stays in Amsterdam. Okay. And he's a researcher. And I have that book over here. I had that book for ages. My dad recently, he went to Amsterdam and he went and met that guy. So that was pretty cool. So he got the book autographed also for me. So that guy is just signed over there. Since I mentioned that book, I'll tell you one interesting thing about that book. Okay. So he talks about the unhappiest country in the world. And there's an unhappy country which he felt is really unhappy, which ranks really low in this happiness index called Moldova.
Okay.
And Moldova is one of those, you know, like somewhere near Russia or Ukraine type of countries.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Like one of the Soviet countries. And one of the main things that makes them unhappy, and bear in mind this is a country where there are more women than men. Okay, so this is a so for every man you can get like how many, like the men are in demand over there. And so the women are really really crazily well dressed.
Okay
so now this is a great country, dude. Like you should ideally be like everyone's so well dressed and everyone's really happy, everyone's taking an effort, look good about themselves and all that. What they realize is a really unhappy country for one reason. Like, you know how in, like, you know, every country has one catchphrase, or one common phrase. Like in India, we say, aram se. Like, don't come in a hurry, but come aram se. Like in Moldova, there's a phrase similar to that. And the phrase is something, but it, in English, it translates to, that's not my problem.
Oh.
That's like one of the most recurring phrases that is used over there. So like even if there's, like for example, you get out of your house and someone else's garbage is on the staircase.
Yeah.
You just leave and go. And then the watchman comes and he just leaves and he goes. And then the sweeper comes. He's like, I'm not a garbage collector. I'm just a sweeper. I'll just sweep and they go. And that garbage just collects like that. And this is just a small thing, but they do it with everything in life.
Are you saying that word... That phrase says a lot about the place that you're talking? The attitude, the entire attitude of the... Is that a country?
That's a country, yeah. Moldova.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right. Closing thoughts before we come to the end of this podcast.
This is a pretty open-ended thing. Anything specific that you were thinking? What other people share when you ask them like this, like closing thoughts?
I've never asked anyone.
Why would you put me
this with you?
Yeah, why would you put me in this situation where you just say something, you know? It's not like I have something to promote. Like, I have a new special coming out on Amazon Prime or anything.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Ashwin, for doing this.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rupin. Bye-bye.
And we'll if you want to follow Ashwin, you can follow him @ Ashwin Srinivas. And he has a couple of videos up. And if you like the videos, let him know. Send him a DM.
I have into his three DMs. Videos on my IGTV, which I think I've done my best there. So if anybody likes it, please tell me that you like it. Validation means a lot at this
yes.
time.
And also, if you're in Bangalore and one stand-up reopens, please be sure to check out Ashwin live. He's really, really funny. Like, I've always liked his comedy. Like, he also knows this. And thank you guys for listening.
Thanks.
And we'll be back and we'll see you at episode 103. Thank you.